CliffCentral.com.
All right, everybody, good morning, and how are you?
What kind of accent was that? All right, let's get going. We've got a busy day ahead of us. It is Monday morning, a brand new week, and from tomorrow, a brand new month. Joining me, Leanne Moll, live from her own personal studio, just down the corridor from her bedroom, and also in our actual studio, just down the corridor from the rest of Rivonia, is Mashiane Mash. And how are you? How was the weekend, everybody? How are you guys doing? All right. Ah, there's Simpiwe, of course.
All good.
Taking care of things as well. Yeah, how was your weekend? What did you do?
There seemed to be a lot of Halloween stuff going on, judging by the neighborhood WhatsApp groups.
Yes.
But it's quite funny how, you know, we're trying to adopt the American traditions by having trick-or-treating. Yeah. But with us, we've got to send out warnings to the groups. Hi, we'll be trick-or-treating. So if you hear your doorbell, if you hear your gate intercom ring,
don't shoot
you'll
the
know
children.
It's us.
Yeah. Yeah. Please don't shoot anybody. If you see, you know, if there's any, you know, activity outside your house and it sets off your alarm and a monitor net come knocking, it's because of the children.
And the one couple said, unfortunately, we might be out, but just check through the window. If you see a blue light on our alarm pad, then you'll know that we're not there. All the surprise is taken out of it. Hey.
Well, I didn't see any neighborhood WhatsApp stuff because we didn't have any trick or treating in our neighborhood. I wasn't here anyway, so it wouldn't have made any difference to me. But apparently, my little nephews went to a neighborhood nearby, and they in that area they all do trick or treating. So I don't know how it works. Do those people in that area then have to provide sweets for everyone who comes?
Yes, because remember the tradition is. The kids will say trick or treat. So in other words, if you don't give us a treat, we're going to play a trick on your house.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't really happen.
So it's basically extortion. I mean, that's what Halloween is all about. It's teaching children at a young age that you need to learn to extort money out of other people. when you've done nothing to earn it. That's a great lesson to teach children. Mash, did you dress up for Halloween at all? Let's see if Mash can... We can't hear you, Mash. You're on mute. There we go. Hello. There he is.
I dressed up for Halloween.
I saw everybody on Instagram made a big effort. Like, it's definitely become a big thing in South Africa. So you made no effort. You didn't do any Halloween stuff. You're mute again. Let's give Mash a little bit of time to catch up with what's going on here.
So you were away, Gareth?
Yeah, I did an event in Sun City. First of all, there's so much to this that is just kind of weird. Like, I haven't been to Sun City in a while. I remember I went with Ben just to go on the rides in February, I think it was.
Oh, yes.
And that was really fun and childish and like completely cool because it was just like a getaway that I think we both needed at the time. And it was a hell of a lot of exercise for one weekend. But it was a beautiful thing to see. And this is now the third week in a row of, you know, actual events that I've been at where there have been dinners and awards and people celebrating, you know, a year of incredible work. And I went to host the Specsavers Award. You know Specsavers. I mean, they're all over the country.
Yeah.
Incredible company. They've got optometrists all over South Africa and Namibia. And they really have expanded beautifully over the last two or three years. They haven't had an event, though, an awards event or a celebratory dinner for a while. So it was good to see everybody doing that stuff. And, you know, these events obviously cost lots of money. And they're difficult to organize, especially post-COVID. And it's good to see people doing that. Obviously, there's a major spillover effect for all kinds of business down the line. You know, the bus companies, the table decor companies, all these companies that used to have week after week, there was business. And then suddenly for like 2.5 years, there was nothing. And to see them doing that again is just very, very inspiring, I think. Oh, there goes my power. No, now I can't hear you, Leanne. Now you're on mute.
I was on mute because of the Ardy dolls. Yes, stage two back this week.
Now, stage two is not so bad, right? Is the higher the number is, the worse it is? Because I can never remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it should only be around once a day for us.
Wow, how lucky are we?
I know, cause for celebration. Mimosas all round.
So listen, I've just got to say quickly for these guys at Specsavers, and honestly, when I go and MC an event, and the last thing I did for them was in 2017, so I have done one before. It started off as a family-owned business. This family from PE, a guy called Brian, started the whole business years ago, and his son now runs it and runs it, he says, better than ever. They've grown, which is also a great story because so many businesses are struggling. So congratulations to them. But the really impressive thing is, there isn't a South African business from Adcock Ingram, who I went to last week, who are obviously a client of ours. They do Sponsors of Brave, which bring you, series like Beyond Madness, which we've done with them for three seasons now. The week before that was MSC, the shipping company, which now does cruises all over South Africa and the world. And they're bringing a new ship here in, I think, early next year. So there's exciting stuff happening. And what really impresses me, there isn't a single company that I've encountered in South Africa that doesn't also do something really good for the community, that doesn't also do incredible work for people who are not customers, just to help. So these guys at Specsavers for probably the last 6 years have been giving free and very, very discounted glasses, spectacles to kids. A lot of kids at school, especially if they're in township schools or in poor areas of the country, rural areas and so on, they there's no way for them to figure out even if they need an eye test. So they were giving away free eye tests thanks to the optometrists, free frames. They were getting heavily discounted lenses from overseas and helping these kids to be able to see. Because, how are you meant to learn things if you can't even see properly? Now,
for sure.
Now they've started a new branch of shops called Audiology. They're going to do hearing aids to help people to be able to hear properly. And again, they're doing this really cool thing where, if you're a security guard or you're a domestic worker, you can't afford a 40,000 rand hearing aid. Who could?
Jeez.
And they're now going to do as good a deal as anywhere and really disrupt the market by allowing people to come in and get much, much cheaper hearing aids that work just as well and help people to do good things. So I think it's terrific. And well done to the team at Specsavers. They didn't close one store during lockdown, or all 12 that were damaged or lost during the riots last year in KZN. They've all reopened now, and they managed to pay their staff every single month regardless. Now that is incredible.
Sure.
Good
going.
Yeah, I love hearing stories like that, because we can sit here and complain about how bad things are, but when I get to host these people at an awards dinner or whatever, I get to announce the awards, I get to meet the people behind the business, get to meet the people who win the awards, you hear the stories and you go, wow, this is actually quite an incredible organization. And I think across the board, you're going to find, if you work with all of these people, every single company has a story like the one I've just told you about Specsavers. It's really good to hear. So I was there for Friday and Saturday. A really nice time. I had lots of fun. I do have to say, though, that, as much as I love Sun City, and I always have, and it's like meant to be the Vegas of South Africa, they've got to spend some money there. It's looking very tatty and torn, and it looks like it needs some serious maintenance. Somebody at Sun International's got to start upgrading things there very shortly, or else it's going to fall apart. Not good. Oof. How are you,
Big
Mash?
Big job.
I am good, thank you, Gareth. How good. Are you guys?
Good, you got the studio up and running.
Yes, we did. Oh, it's been such a morning, but the weather is looking good. For the first time in a while, we're not boiling half to death or freezing. Yep. So That's a good start of the week.
Very nice. So you didn't get dressed up for Halloween, which we were talking about just a little while ago. I saw just thousands and thousands of pictures. I went through my Instagram yesterday because I hardly checked social media over the weekend. And I suddenly realized, like, wow, a lot of people went to massive, massive effort. I think for makeup artists, Halloween must have become their big payday. Because, you know, we've met and spoken to a few makeup artists, especially the special effects kind of makeup. You know, the ones where you have people put in, you know, eyes where it doesn't look like you have a pupil, and people who do scars and blood and, you know, all the special effects Hollywood style makeup. And those people look like they had a bumper weekend.
Yeah,
they
for sure.
made money. Everybody, I saw quite a number of people actually dressed up like vampires, slutty vampires, of course.
Of course.
But it was such a variety of outfits. And I saw some clowns as well this past weekend. Just people walking around Santon dressed like clowns. So it seems like lots of people.
That's like every weekend.
Yeah, someone said to me it was very difficult with all the sluttiness to tell the difference between Pride and Halloween. And
oh, Lordy.
Yeah. And then they also they also had a big party for the Zulu King and his proper enthronement. And you know, our government issued this kind of recognition. And I saw lots of the politicians were down in KZN. To partake in the ceremonies around the Zulu King's enthronement. So that also happened. It was a busy weekend all round.
Yeah, yes. Lots of celebration, which is good.
Yeah, you know, and plenty to celebrate. I mean, listen, we are heading towards the end of the year. It has been a tough year. Last year was also tough and the year before. So people need things to look forward to. And if dressing up for Halloween or going to Pride or attending an awards ceremony or having some kind of end of year function in your company can just add a little bit of excitement and celebration to your year, I think that's a terrific thing. I think we must all get behind it and start living again instead of this bizarre kind of pause that we had on our lives.
Yeah, back to life.
Right.
I saw one of my favorite Halloween costume was a guy who had dressed up like the game of Twister, which is where you have to put your hands on the certain colored dots.
Yeah.
And you end up in an entanglement.
Yeah.
So he was wearing all white, and then he had the colored dots on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
Down his torso. And at the back was the dial that you have to flick to spin the arrow to pick a color. But because it's standing up on his back, gravity makes it always go to red, which is at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
When he turns to the front, the only red dot is over his wiener.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cheap way to get some attention of the wanted or unwanted kind, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, lots of things to get into. We have, speaking of you know, makeup, there's also lots of people who've been talking plastic surgery recently, because I think, you know, around this time of year, people are looking in the mirror and maybe it's not Halloween and you go, even though you, you know, I met someone on, what was it, Thursday or Friday last week? And she said to me, I need to get some Botox or whatever. So clearly people are thinking about this stuff, but plastic surgery, which is obviously a whole step beyond Botox, is definitely on the menu. And I've just got back from Turkey, where apparently people go for hair operations and
BBLs.
Brazilian
butt lifts.
That's it. And people are thinking about plastic surgery. So there are cosmetic procedures which seem to be part of what everybody is looking for at the moment. Are South Africa's doctors famous for any of that kind of thing? Cosmetic procedures, maybe lifts, operations. What are we famous for?
In South Africa, it's a bit of a shaky one because we don't really do many cosmetic procedures to begin with, like the rest of the world.
I heard,
like, I'm sure.
I heard we do a lot of teeth. Like people come here from all over the world to get their, you know, get their whole mouth redone because we've got some pretty skilled dentists and dental surgeons and oral hygienists and that kind of thing. So we've got that, or am I wrong? I mean, if I've got it completely wrong,
right.
Tell me.
Yeah,
come for that. Yeah,
there are even places. I don't want to mention any names.
Yeah.
I went to during a bit of an emergency. I have to get these Botox injections in for bruxism, which is the clenching of the jaw. I have to get them in my jaw. And I was traveling at the time, so I went to one of these dental places. And you could tell it was in a touristy place in Cape Town, so it was kind of rigged up for tourists. And yeah, the waiting room, remember, dentists are synonymous for applying Botox as well.
Oh, really?
Now the service is usually given by dentists as well.
Okay.
And they're the best positioned in terms of knowing where facial muscles are.
Okay.
But yeah, the waiting room was full of tourists coming in with having to touch up their Botox and do all of that sort of thing. But yes, and I mean, imagine paying for a full new set of teeth in rands if you're from the US.
So it's partly the cost, but it's also the skill of our surgeons. I'm not surprised that people might come from all over the world. We've also got, you know, we've got pretty good, a pretty good medical, what would you call it? Not industry, a medical profession. They've got a pretty decent reputation all over the world. And because they're cheap and it's in rands, that makes a huge difference. So people, rich people from all over come here and then they'll spend, you know, a lot of money or a little bit of money by comparison with their own countries, getting whatever procedure it is, plastic surgery procedure. And then because they've got extra money lying around afterwards, because they've obviously changed into rands, they'll go on a safari or they'll go away to some retreat for a week so they can recover. And then they come out of there looking fantastic, go back to their home country and people go, ah, you look fantastic. Did you have a holiday? And they go, oh, yeah, just a nice relaxing time. Meanwhile, they've had a whole lot of surgery.
Yes. And now, guys, I just want to share with you guys some of the most popular procedures in different parts of the world.
See, I knew you would know this.
So we're going to start off with India. What procedure do you guys think is most popular in India? Just off the top of your head.
Maybe hair surgeries, because I know that that's where you can get a lot of women grow their hair there so that they can sell it, actually.
Really?
Am I right?
Yeah. Unfortunately not. Gareth, what do you think is most popular in India?
I don't know. They are training more doctors and teaching more people at a kind of institutional third kind of tertiary education level than anyone else. I would say pretty much any kind of surgery. India has a reputation for churning out lots of very competent doctors. So maybe it's just general plastic surgery, facial surgeries, that kind of thing, nose jobs.
Well, not exactly close. Okay. So in India, for men, it's actually a part of their status symbol and part of their ranking in society. One thing that does really determine that is their height.
Oh.
So how tall you are in India determines your status in society. And main reason being, the taller you are, the more respect you command. The taller you are, the more likely you are to be a model, to be an actor, or to just be in any public position.
Okay.
So
hold on a second, though. Just before you even finish that sentence, I've always thought that height is something you can't do anything about. And I've heard about these, terribly painful procedures where people have their legs made longer. They like have their bones and their legs either broken and reset, or I don't know what they do exactly, but it sounded like absolute hell to me. And I wasn't even sure if it was true. Is there a way to make yourself taller?
There is a way to make yourself taller. And this is the most popular cosmetic surgery in India. All the men are doing that. Well, not all the men, but most of the men are actually doing this.
Right.
And it's basically the procedure of breaking your bones in your lower leg and then just inserting rods in your bones And then inserting some sort of cast, a metal cast, to actually hold your bones in place up a few millimeters apart. And then your bones are going to grow back in that gap. And then they repeat that over and over again until you're taller. So that is the most popular procedure in India.
Meanwhile, there's suddenly a surge in the presence of long-legged men with short torsos.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll just say it straight up. I'd rather be short, and I'm obviously saying that as someone who isn't short, so I don't know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And it must be very frustrating for you to, you know, kind of run under tables without bending your knees or whatever else it is that short people do. But I'd probably rather do that than go through this procedure you just outlined. Ooh. Now, it sounds bloody horrible.
It sounds pretty horrible.
So some of the other guesses, mm-hmm. just by the way, from some of the people who are listening. Big Balls Sibanda says dick enlargements. Is that true? Is that a thing?
Well, we're going to get to that, because I have quite I learned a couple of things this past weekend about different surgeries in different countries.
All right.
So there's also your usual surgeries that, like, you're used to seeing all the time, such as a tummy tuck. In what country do you guys think a tummy tuck is most popular? A tummy tuck is also known as an abdominoplasty. And it's basically just removing excess fat and skin around the abdomen, the abdomen yeah. and creating a smoother, flatter abdominal profile. So what do you think this is most popular?
It's basically gunt removal. I would say for gunt removal, probably. It's hard to figure these things. Maybe South America, because again, like, it's not necessarily where you'd think. You know, these first world countries. It's sometimes these third world countries that specialize in these things. I have no idea. You want to guess, Leanne?
Yeah, I was trying to think of maybe countries where there's a lot of beer drinking and you get beer bellies and then perhaps lose the weight and need the tummy tuck. Or it's countries where there are lots of women having children.
Well,
but I don't know.
Your first guess was correct, Leanne, a lot of beer, and it's Australia.
Oh,
all the way
I was
back
going
Australia.
To say that.
Wasn't even on my radar. Okay, so Australia, they do gunt surgery. That's very good.
Yes. Okay. And then Brazil is best known for facelifts. So they do the largest amount of facelifts that side. And then the UK is known for ear surgery, surprisingly. I thought they'd be most popular for teeth.
Yeah, because they have horrible teeth in England. Okay, so ear surgery, would that be to make your ears smaller, to pin them back, that kind of thing?
So basically, ear surgery improves the shape, position, or proportion of the ear, and it can be used to treat large ears or protruding ears.
Ooh.
Ear surgery is popular in the UK, where financial support is available for some residents.
Well, that's because, I mean, look at the king. Hello.
Yeah, that's true. The King of England has enormous ears. You're right.
He does. Yeah. He absolutely does.
All right.
And then there's another surgery, eyelid surgery. I'm sure you guys can guess where this one is popular. Eyelid surgery. Let me just describe it first. Eyelid surgery is where they basically double fold. It's a double fold procedure that creates a distinct upper eyelid fold. It's most popular in countries where people's eyes are a bit more smaller in profile.
Must be Asia then. Must be like Japan, Korea. That. But I need to go for that at some point because I've got these very droopy eyes, right? So I need to go and have those. I need to go and have those done eventually. Well, that's what someone told me. I probably won't, but you know.
There are quite a few women going for it now. Because so many of the makeup techniques involve a lot of eyeshadow techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that as well, where I have I'm trying to remember the word for it now. It's like an overhanging top eyelid. But
well, I just don't want to come back looking like, you know, don't want to go and have it done and then I look weird. So, no, I'd rather maybe.
Like you're being seen to by a train from behind in your sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Seen to by a train.
That's the thing.
Leanne, you're so diplomatic this morning. No rude words. All right.
That's the thing with these surgeries is that you'll always end up looking weird. Our main reason being that, especially when the rest of your face has aged in proportion with each other. So your whole face looks, for example, 35 or 40. and you get a surgery done to make your eyes look 25, something is going to look off about you.
Right.
When your eyes look 25, but the rest of your face looks 40.
Well, hooded eyelids. Thank you, cutting Stanton.
Yeah, hooded eyelids. I've seen a couple of people who you can't pick out what's wrong with them, but you see them and you go, something's different there. And it's not always bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, even the people who don't necessarily have the best surgeon can come back looking okay. But you always think, wow, what? There's something different about her, or something. She's changed something about her appearance. And then you eventually figure out, ah, she must have had some.
It's all in the subtlety. Like Tracy Bard, you just don't want to look like an Eskimo who sees a fault fire for the first time.
Well, Venetia says, my aunt did the droopy eye surgery. It looks amazing. She did it for her 60th. Do it if you can. Okay.
Yeah.
But Tubble,
it is very successful.
Tubble wants to know, where can I get a penis reduction? I can barely walk.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, Tubble.
All right. What are the other famous places for getting all these things?
So that is all of it. But some of the popular cosmetic procedures in the entire world, with their numbers of how popular they are, number one is breast augmentation, with over 1.6 million people undergoing this procedure. And then number two is liposuction, with 1.5 million people undergoing this procedure. And then you have the eyelid surgery. A lot of people do this as well. This procedure is actually really, really popular throughout the world.
Okay.
So that's something I'm also considering now.
All right.
I'm also considering. I think let's all get eyelid surgery, guys. Let's just all go.
Sure. I mean, why not?
And then
it's just a question. It's just a question of putting out the money. And, you know, it's extra. Of course, we're all just sitting around with lots of extra money. So why not?
Mm. Yeah.
And then absolutely. The last one.
The last one is a rhinoplasty.
Ah, nose job.
It has just over a million. The rhinoplasties are much more lighter, aren't they, compared to a full-blown nose job?
No, right? It's the same thing. Rhinoplasty is a nose job. Where in the world would you go to get that done properly?
Rhinoplasty, to get it done properly, it's actually America.
Hmm.
America's very popular for it. And the main reason for that is because rhinoplasties are performed all over the world, but nobody does it as well. We've seen so many botched up nose jobs. You don't want to end up looking like Owen Wilson. That's very important.
Hi, I'm Owen Wilson. apparently, according to G-Star, Thailand has the most extreme plastic surgery. You can become a ladyboy. Many transvestites go there to get the chop. I think you mean trans people in general. But yeah.
I think you mean transgender.
Transvestite.
And I think you mean bottom surgery. But yes.
Yeah,
I love
let's avoid that word.
When last did you hear the word transvestite? That's a good word. All right. We didn't get to penis enlargements, which is very disappointing.
Yes. So penis enlargements, I'm not sure where they might be popular, but
everywhere.
I am guessing everywhere. Everybody wants a larger penis. Let's be real. Everybody wants one.
Except Tabo, who wants to have his reduced. Because, you know, he's got a really big one. So. Yeah, needs his penis reduced. All right, well, there we go. So we've given you a menu this morning of all the different things that you can do for yourself if it comes to, like, giving yourself a Christmas present this year. You know, you look in the mirror, you're sick of seeing what you see, make it better. These are the things you can spend your money on. Dear Linda says, what a waste of money. I agree with surgery on a person that's disfigured for some reason. The rest are all going to die sooner or later. I'm so anti-cosmetic procedures. I've seen some very scary results afterwards. Well, yeah. And you know, Lucky brings up a reason that people might be thinking about this more than usual. Lucky says, a lot of these Instagram influencers are getting their perfect bodies in Turkey, which we've discussed already. But Instagram is the important part of that conversation. Because I think because of Instagram, lots of people are suddenly thinking about, you know, stuff that they wouldn't have thought about before. And you can't always dress like a slutty whatever it is for Halloween and look hot for that one day of the year. You need to look like that all year. So people might look in the mirror and go, time for that nose job or that hooded eye lift or that penis enlargement or that gunt removal or whatever it is that you're looking at. So good.
Yeah. But one thing I'm really liking nowadays about Instagram, Gareth, is the fact that it's no longer so much about how you look. Mm. It's becoming less and less about that day by day. Despite Instagram moving, or rather copying TikTok more and more often, it is moving away from the whole perfect body, perfect image, perfect life scenario.
No,
and that's something I'm enjoying seeing.
No, it isn't.
It isn't.
No, you know
it
what?
It really is.
No.
Definitely.
No, they say, no, they're saying they're moving away from that stuff, but people aren't buying it. I mean, you know, you could put Lizzo on the front of every web page in the world and you can say how great she looks and how body positive everything is because people like Lizzo, but people aren't believing that. They're not doing, otherwise they'd stop going to gym. They'd stop eating ice cream. It's not true. It's just not true.
No, it's not so that they can aspire to be like her. Mm. In terms
so
of,
they can accept her.
No, accept the way you are.
No, yeah. I don't believe it.
I know
it.
It's something that you'll never accept, so it's fine.
No, I just don't believe it. I think you guys are, you've bought into this bullshit argument. I don't think anyone looks at these body positive people who are clearly not like healthy or good looking by any standard. I don't think anyone looks at them and goes, oh, that's so sexy. What they're doing is they're lying. They're going along with the lies like, oh, Lizzo, you look so great. Meanwhile, deep down inside, they know they're bullshitting. They just know.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not about that. It's not about glorifying what she looks like. It's about
seems like
me
it to
looking
me.
In the mirror. It's about me looking in the mirror and being able to say, I can still feel sexy even though I don't look like such.
It is representation. It's just representation.
Sure. But
because so many people are,
We're talking about like cosmetic procedures that some of the richest people in the world do. These are not people who are positive about themselves. It's not about acceptance. Otherwise, they wouldn't do all these things. So it's just bullshit. You're speaking with a forked tongue, basically. People are saying, oh, I love it. Body positivity. Everyone looks sexy. Whatever shape, size.
No, but you're talking about two different sets of people here, which is a bit confusing.
I'm saying the people who
You're talking about people who go for cosmetic surgery, and you're talking about people who accept the way they look.
No,
it's two different sets.
I'm saying if everybody had unlimited money, they'd be changing things about their looks all the time, which is why rich people do that. Because if they were truly happy with themselves, they wouldn't do any of that. So let's not lie to ourselves. Come on.
Wait, Leanne, if you had unlimited funds, would you change anything about yourself? Let's do a quick survey right now.
Unlimited. No, I mean, I would do things that to focus on my health for sure, and things that would be more convenient for me. But I'm certainly not going to go for a plastic surgery overhaul.
So no lipo, tummy tuck, six pack insertion.
I was talking.
Well, let's be clear. In order to have a tummy tuck, you need to have lost the actual weight first.
No, but guys, listen, it doesn't matter how good looking or perfect your body is by comparison with, you know, some famous celebrity or someone who's dreadfully ugly. A friend of mine just the other day said to me, he is going to be going to the gym this coming year and he's going to sort out his legs. He doesn't think his legs look very good and he wants a really, you know, good pair of legs. And I said to him, there's some things you can't do anything about, like, you know, calf muscles. If you don't have them, you don't have them. He said to me, oh, please.
Yes.
He said, you can get implants. Now he's thinking about that. This guy's not out of shape. This guy's not ugly. He doesn't need help. But he's looked in the mirror and he said, my legs look a bit pathetic compared to the upper part of my body. Now he's thinking about getting leg implants. People will always do whatever they can to improve themselves unless they've given up, you know? So I think go for it. I'm not criticizing it. I mean, what I'm saying here is that anyone who's given the opportunity to improve something somewhere and doesn't take it, that's probably like they've given up. I don't think there's anything
that's
wrong
with how it can be perceived.
Given up is, given up or changed your priorities. You know, realizing that certain things are more important than the way you look.
Ruth says it's about your own perception of yourself. Most of it is attributed to mental health issues. Gareth, what do you do? You look young. That's nice of you, Lubobalo, but it's not true. I mean, look at pictures of me from 20 years ago. I did, and it's very depressing. Stone Philosopher says, just fake it when you're out of direction. Carl says, I don't buy it for 1 second. Fat people are not treated as well. Lizzo must stop eating and have a few shits. Yeah, well, there's Carl with some straightforward advice. No, I would not change a thing. You've got to learn to be happy in your own skin, says Corona's boring. Well, yeah, sure. Okay.
That's what it's all about, because once you start, you'll never finish.
Yeah, and you do. You see these people who get addicted to plastic surgery too, right? So,
yes,
that's not good. That's not good. Anyway,
there's a former supermodel that you might know, Janice. I think it's Janice Dickinson.
Yes,
I forgot her name.
Yes,
yes. Shame. She used to look beautiful. Now she's an absolute monster. So just Google her.
All right, we've got.
She didn't choose aging gracefully. That's for sure.
We've got Dr. Hanan coming on to talk to us in just a moment or two, and we've always got cool things to discuss with him. But first, just one or two quick headlines. We need to see what's going on in the world. That terrorism warning has made things a little awkward between South Africa and the U.S. So, Business Tech is reporting this morning that several large events and gatherings took place in Sandton, with citizens largely shrugging off a terrorism alert from the U.S. embassy. The embassy warned that there might be a terror attack. The alert was followed by other embassies, the U.K., Canadian, French, German, and Australian missions issuing warnings to their citizens. But the president said it was unfortunate. He said that security structures in the country were frustrated by the lack of information coming from the U.S. embassy, but assured South African citizens they would be safe. The police and other security officials were put on standby. All that remains is the diplomatic fallout. Speaking to the City Press and Sunday Times, various sources have pointed to a gathering storm between South Africa and the U.S. over this matter. Deputy Minister in the Presidency for State Security, Zizi Kodwa, is on record stating that there will be repercussions for the U.S. Embassy breaking protocol on this. Sources within the security sector have speculated that there may have been an ulterior motive in the U.S. issuing the alert, such as setting the groundwork for installing a military presence in the country. So now things are just getting very, very messy between South Africa and the U.S. Nobody likes to hear about that. That's a little bit, it's awkward and complicated. the Gauteng Premier wants Soweto's Eskom debt written off. You know how much money Soweto owes the state power supplier?
Billions.
5 billion rand. So, if they're going to get their debt written off, how about the rest of us?
Yeah.
I mean, Mash, you don't live in Soweto. Leanne, you don't live in Soweto. I don't live in Soweto. If we don't pay our electricity bills, we get cut off like that. Why should they have their debt written off? What do you think?
No, yeah. It feels unfair. It does feel unfair. And I know for a fact that even if this debt does get written off, 2 years down the line, it'll probably be 30 billion. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And also, you can see, because there are elections coming up next year, this is a straight up election strategy, right? Get the people of Soweto, the largest township in, you know, Gauteng, get them voting for you by scrapping their electricity bills. That's just not how you should play the game. You know, when politicians start giving away free stuff that they aren't paying for, that other people have to pay for, because all that'll happen is everyone else in the country now has to cover for Soweto. So we will all have to pay for them. That's not fair.
At all.
Yeah.
So that's Banyaza Lesufi, who said he wants $5 billion in debt to Eskom from Soweto residents scrapped. He said, Minister Godongwana, the finance minister, we truly appreciate how you respect negotiations. Can we safely assume that Soweto Eskom electricity debt and that of other townships is also scrapped as per our intensive lobby? Lesufi tweeted on Friday. Well, again, why should the townships be treated differently? We live in a country where everybody's treated the same. Rich, poor, old, young, smart, dumb, black, white, fat, thin. We can't give certain people a free ride and other people have to pay for that ride. because it's not as if you can write off this debt and then it just goes away. Someone else is going
to
pay.
It's not going to.
And those other people who are going to pay are everyone who doesn't live in a township. Doesn't sound right to me. But you know what? It's all part of them just trying to give people free stuff so that they can get votes in the election. And the ANC is desperate, so they will do desperate things. Anyway, we spoke about the Zulu King being crowned and now certified, and there was a big celebration in KZN over the weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that later on this week. And Eskom blew 680 billion rand and hired 18,000 extra staff, but they can't keep the lights on. Now, there is a place where we can go in and be merciless and cut costs. Eskom, they've failed to provide the service that we pay them for, so cut them down. And speaking of firing people and cutting costs, Elon Musk has fired about, he says, 75% of Twitter's executives. And he says he got rid of them because they don't know what they're doing and they've ruined Twitter and they've made it a very unfair platform and blah, blah, blah. But it seems, according to some people, he just wants to avoid paying them 2.2 billion rand. That's according to Business Insider. But it's his business. He can fire them for whatever reason he wants. Mm-hmm. And you go for it, Elon.
And apparently they were given packages, like $200 million, whatever, packages in shares. And
yeah.
So they didn't get off, you know, eating off the street, that's for sure.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll
see. Walking away full.
We'll see what happens with Twitter as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later on too. So coming up in a short while, we will be joined also, this is at 7:30, by somebody from Investec. You know, we've done this incredible podcast series, which I've spoken about a few times on this show, and I want you to really listen to if you haven't had a chance to do it yet. But Caroline Edie van Wyk will be joining us. She's the brand editor for Investec, and we'll talk a little bit about the series' future impact. And what the reasons were and continue to be that Investec is so involved in sustainability, things around the impact of, you know, environmental concerns, renewable energy, that sort of thing. And we'll find out exactly what Caroline and Investec's interest in this is. So stick around for that good, interesting conversation, I'm sure. But first, it is time for Dr. Hanan. It's time to check if we're going to be okay. And we rely on Dr. Hanan to tell us, yes, you're going to be okay. Calm down. Here he is again on a Monday morning. Doc, we're going to be okay, right?
Absolutely, we're going to be okay.
All right. Absolutely. So we got an email from one of our listeners, and it's similar to an issue that Simpiwe wanted to talk to us about. And she's also on the line. Simpiwe, who you know well, Doc. But let's start with Let's start with this email from Rose. Rose says, given that Dr. Hanan specializes in trauma and anxiety, maybe he can give me some tips. I've experienced what so many in South Africa experience, being held up in my own home. Ugh. I'm sorry about this, Rose. Mm-hmm. She said, we had this happen to us recently. I'm not going to have the knee-jerk reaction and just decide to emigrate. COVID lockdowns showed me we're better off here. These criminals can take my stuff, but I won't let them have my home. Can you give us some coping strategies? And maybe you can talk to us about those. And Simpiwe, before Dr. Hanan talks about Rose's email, tell us your story, and maybe he can help you with yours at the same time. All right, go for it.
There we go. So my story is not as bad as Rose, but what happened was over the past year, I've had three instances where my phone was stolen. The first two times, I think I could justify it to myself because I was out, I was at the mall. But the third time was a break-in in our house. And they took quite a number of things, including the phone. And I'm really not coping with the fact that there was like almost an invasion of my privacy. And it's been over like a very short period of time.
Wow. All right, Doc, where do we begin with this? It's not a rare South African occurrence. And I'm sorry, Simpiwe, I know, you know, we've joked about your phones before, but this is not a funny thing. And people do struggle to cope with this, Doc.
Of course, we live in a country where that's the reality for so many people. And I always tell people the first thing when you go through a loss, and it's an incredible envision of your privacy, actually having a home robbery, as well as your phone being taken. I mean, your phone is your life. Everything is on there, from personal information to personal pictures to communication with other people, when that, once that's taken away, even though they might not have access to that, somebody taking something from you that is so personal and so private can be an incredible invasion and a psychological invasion. There's no question. So what do you do? First thing, in terms of the home robbery, make sure that on a practical level, you secure your home and that you feel safe. A lot of people just think that they can cope with psychologically cope when your home is still vulnerable. So what I advise always to people that have gone through a home invasion or a robbery in their private or business spot is always make sure that practically on a physical level, you're protected. Our brains are designed to do one thing and one thing really well, which is ensure survival. And my brain, your brain, doesn't cope well when we're in environments where we don't feel safe. So the first thing that you should do is make sure that you up your security, make sure that maybe you call in professionals to make sure that these gaps in the security or these gaps in the vulnerabilities are taken care of, and make sure when you go to bed at night, you feel that you are 100% safe, at least on a practical level. We'll deal with the emotional stuff in a second, but on a practical level, 1 + 1 = 2 and you're feeling safe. When it comes to your cell phone, you know, we live in a country where, unfortunately, that is a reality. Cell phones get snatched and criminals, their method actually becoming much more sophisticated. I was actually a witness in, I went to a restaurant probably a couple of weeks ago in Parkhurst, and there was an accident right in front of me. Everybody popped up. This woman was apparently drunk. She drove into another car. She pops out. She's okay. And everybody gathers. And before you know it, an Uber driver stops. Nobody pays attention. An Uber driver stops right next to all this crowd gathering around this accident. And suddenly somebody comes from behind and snatches another person's cell phone that's standing there watching all this commotion going on and gets back into the Uber. So what has happened actually is the Uber was a pretend Uber. People don't pay attention. People's guard are low, or people think this is quite normal. There's just an Uber car waiting. But as I said, the method is actually becoming more and more sophisticated. So number one, make sure that you are secure. With regards to the cell phone, make sure that you are vigilant. Make sure you go to appropriate places. Make sure that you're well protected. Make sure that you're aware and alert to what's going on. I wish it wasn't the case, but it is what it is, and the key is really to adapt to the environment that we're in, and that's the environment that we're in. So number one, to use some PUA, and to the caller or to the person that emailed, is make sure that practically you behave in ways that ensure your safety and security. Once that is done, just understand our heads and hearts work on two different frequencies. Whilst our heads can feel secure, our emotions are still, I'm vulnerable. And it takes your heart time to adjust to where your head is at. So whilst your head is going, I know what to do. I know how to act. My home is secure. My home is safe. I know where to go with regards to my cell phone. I know to keep my cell phone in my pocket or in my purse or my bag or whatever it is. Your heart isn't there yet. And your heart needs time to adjust. So number one, do not avoid things that are reasonable. Do not avoid things that are reasonable. So superior to your situation, don't avoid the places or the friends or the situations or the environments that you would naturally like to avoid now because you're feeling insecure. Because the moment you avoid it, all you're doing is kicking the emotional can down the road, and later on it just becomes a barrel. It's much more difficult to deal with something if you don't confront it. To the home invasion, don't avoid, for example, sleeping in another or a house, or maybe at a friend's house, or rent out an Airbnb, or sleeping in another room. Yes, you can build up to it, but don't avoid it. And what I mean by building up to it, maybe Simpiwa, to your point, you might want to go out and maybe go out for half an hour. And then the next time you want to go out for 45 minutes. And the next time you want to go for an hour and build it up. To the person that's at home, you maybe want to sleep maybe with the lights on. As an example, if you're very afraid, maybe with a security guard outside, maybe for a week. And then maybe you'll do it for 6 days, and maybe you'll do it for 5 days. But the point is you want to build up to eventual complete confrontation to how you were a minute before this incident happened. So you want to go back to the real reality before it happened. And I need to go back to point number one, assuming that you are protected. You don't want to go back to the same situation if you're still as vulnerable or still as open to these kind of incidences happening to you. And then, so the first thing is make sure that you're practically protected. Secondly, do not avoid. And thirdly, and this is very important, immerse yourself in self-care and ensuring that you focus on what you can control. So immerse yourself in self-care and ensuring you control what you can control. There are many things in this world that we can't control, but there's many, many, many things that we can. So you can't, we can't, we think we can predict the next minute. We can't control the future, but what we can control is our sleep. We can control our diet. We can control our exercise. And people go, well, what is that going to do with the issue that I went through? Everything. Because if you don't sleep well, you're not going to cope as well. If you don't eat as well, you're not going to cope as well. If you're not going to look after your body, you're not going to cope as well. Ensuring you surround yourself with the right people, people that give you the nutrients, family, friends, romantic partnership, companionship. Make sure that you still go back to work. Again, do not avoid. I'll go back to my second point. Do not avoid life. Go back to work. Start creating routine and structure and predictability in your day. Make sure that there's self-care.
I just want to ask Simpiwe if there, I mean, are you feeling Simpiwe? Because you always, you know, to everybody on the show, you're this bubbly, happy person. And, you know, I think it looks like you've kind of brushed these things off and you've got over them. What are the kind of lingering problems that you deal with? Are you afraid to go out? Are you afraid to do things? And how exactly has that changed your life based not only on what you've already told us, but also based on what, you know, Doc has just said now, are you already implementing changes in your life?
Yes, I am. So the first two incidents, I was like, I'm not going to go out. I'm going to hang with my friends at their places or at my house. And then this third one has really shaken me up because I don't want to be home, but I also don't want to be out and about because I'm just like, it's not safe. And I think the first two times I was like, okay, cool. I was not being vigilant. I was not the one who put all these safety measures in place. But like this third one is like, okay, what do I do when I was at home and I thought I was safe and I thought I was in this, a place where I couldn't really lose anything.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, Doc, it's a difficult one because as you said at the beginning of your description of the problem is that this is an invasion of your privacy. It's in your own private space. And that is where a lot of people go, oh, okay, well, I can't stay away from the world when the world comes into my space.
Well, we have to adapt to the reality of what it is. You know, so there are places around the world where hurricanes is a thing. There's a place around the world where earthquakes are a thing, and you have to adapt to the reality. Nobody's bigger than the reality.
Right.
You can rebel against gravity all you want, but gravity always wins. Mm. So we don't want to rebel against the reality of where we're living. We want to work with it and protect ourselves and adapt. But also stop focusing on only the things that are bad. Just focus on the self-care and things that you can control.
Right. Okay. Well, Simpiwe, listen, I'm very sorry that this happened to you. I'm always sorry when I hear from anybody that this kind of thing happens to them. But I think it's very brave of you to have brought it up now. And I know that this is upsetting to talk about. I can see, like, you know, it's affected you to even bring it up. But you heard what Doc said. You got to deal with it in little baby steps, all right? We'll get through this together. Simpiwe.
Yes.
Everything is going to be okay. You know, it's Simpiwe. This is, you cannot let this define your reality moving forward. We're going to adapt. We're going to do things differently. We're going to make sure that you are protected. And we're going to have a meaningful, purposeful life by focusing on what you can control. There's a lot of things that we can't. There's a lot of things that we can. We must focus on things that you can control. If I ask you, what are the things that are good that are going on around you? You could probably, you know, spell out a book worth of good things that are happening around you. And by the way, this is not at the neglect of the things that are bad. This is just, I choose to practically protect myself against the bad, but I choose with intention to focus on what's good and what I'm grateful for. So yeah, everything is going to be okay.
All right, Simpiwe, very, very glad you could bring this up this morning and that you were brave enough to discuss it with all of us, because I'm sure there are loads of people who are feeling very similar to you this morning, and you've carried all of them into this conversation with you.
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, Leanne, you've had similar things. Mash, I'm sure you have too. This is a reality of living in South Africa and, frankly, the world right now. All right, Doc, thank you so much. Tough one. Yes, go ahead, Mash.
A very tough one. What makes Simpiwe so much stronger in my eyes is the fact that morning of, I remember coming into the office and she told me, I remember she told us what happened throughout the weekend. Then when I came into the office, she was just smiling. She was just burbly. And I was like, how are you smiling? I'd be sobbing right now if I were you. I'd be sobbing from day of all the way until. And she was just smiling. She's like, no, man, you know what? Life goes on. And I'm like, damn, you are stronger than I. You are much stronger than I.
But Doc, just quickly on that note, I mean, people who put on, a strong, they put their best foot forward, they put a brave face on, they go to work, they do the things that they've got to do, but the trauma stays for a while and you've got to work it out. You can't just ignore it.
As I said, emotions take a while to catch up to the head. So while Simpiwe feels, I know I'm protected, I know I'm fine, I know everything's going to be okay, but emotions are not there yet. The emotions still feel vulnerable and raw. But as she walks through it, the emotions eventually catch up to the reality of what she's experiencing and to the reality of what it is, and she will be okay. It will stabilize and it will be okay.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hanan Bushkin. It's always good to have you on the show on a Monday. And thank you, Simpiwe, for sharing your story. And everybody, there's some nice comments here, Simpiwe. Kim Jong-un, who's, of course, the dictator of North Korea, says, we love you, Simpiwe. So you see. I mean, aww, to get love from North Korea, that's amazing. Rebellious Ruth says, Simpiwe, stay strong, you lovely lady. So sorry, Simpiwe, says Annette. Tracy says, big hugs, Sims, big hugs. So yes, I mean, lots of people who have lots and lots of love and support to you, for you. And, you know, having your house broken into is just so goddamn invasive. It's just so, ugh. You always feel like you walk into your own house after something like that happens. And it's happened to me too. It's happened to all of us. You walk into your own house and you're like, oh, gives me the creeps. But you have to get through it. So, uzoba strong. That's all I can say. All right, everybody. It is 7 o'clock. We'll be back with a whole lot more in just a short while. And stick around with Mash and Leanne and I for more. Simpiwe will be back on the show on Wednesday. And she's got a brand new podcast with Mash, which they're going to also tell us about. There are new episodes of that coming out too. So, stick around. Lots more. Stay with CliffCentral.com. Don't go anywhere. Here is what you need to know in the break. CliffCentral.com.